Thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of Christ the King Radio or Christ the King Radio Ministries.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me today on the Caring and Sharing with Dara show. Today on our show, we are going to be talking about a community forum. Before we get to Dr. Young in the studio, I have two other guests with me, Miss Carla and Miss Jocelyn. Thanks for joining me today on the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to start with Miss Carla. I know you are going to be talking to us about a beauty product for women. And this does help men sometimes, from what I understand of listening to some conversations. But would you share that beauty tip with us today?
Yes, it's awesome. It's an awesome product. And thank you for allowing me to come on your show and talk about it. When she said this, for men and women, even teenagers, they have good cleansing products, moisturizing products. You know, here in Colorado, we need some type of moisturizing product. And then also for the ladies, we have those fabulous 3D lashes where you can enhance your lashes up to 300%. And that's just applying the transplanting gel with the fiber and then also the transplanting gel to hold the fibers. I mean, and it's fabulous. It makes your eyes pop.
It is fabulous. And I also would just like for you to, when I said that this helps men, this is one of the products that I was actually speaking about, because we have heard those horror stories where, you know, give us some of the horror stories that you have heard from men about this product.
Okay. First-hand experience. Having the eyelash bands on and forgetting to take them off before going to bed.
Which is associated with
having fake eyelashes. Correct. And waking up with them laying next to you on your pillowcase. How terrifying. Thinking it's a caterpillar or something in your bed. I'm scared of insects. What about you?
I am, yes.
Okay, so then, you know, that's surprising too. And then for your husband to see you with one band on or a missing lash can be kind of scary. So it is beneficial
like,
for them
as well.
Wait
a minute, what is that?
Yeah, the funny thing is about this 3D lash is that once, if you even fall asleep with them, they're still good. You can fix them with your eyelash comb and straighten them out and make them look just as beautiful as the day you put them on.
Okay, Ms. Carla, thank you very much. And would you please let us know how someone can contact you if they wanted to hear further about that product?
Okay, I am on Facebook, Carla Adams. Well, it's Mrs. Carla Adams on Facebook. I can be contacted that way or via email, CRANAE@hotmail.com.
Thank you so much for sharing that information with us. I'd like to turn towards Ms. Jocelyn. And you have a nonprofit, the Robert A. Miller Educational Resource Center. Would you please explain that to us?
Yes. My center, I do everything, literally everything dealing with families. When people are dealing with custody issues or just issues in court, and human services, those type of things. I provide parenting classes, classes for anger management. A lot of times when we're really stressed, we don't realize how we affect our children, how we affect our other family members as well. Mm-hmm. So my center really works with different classes and workshops, all those different things, to help with families to get that together.
Okay, now how can someone be connected with you and your resource center?
I've got a couple of things. My phone number is 303-321-3202. My website is www.ramerc.com. And my email address, Ramerc. The same, RAMERC, 3@gmail.com.
Okay, and would you let us know where your center is located?
Yes. I am on 2811 Harrison Street. It's funny because I'm right in the hood, you might as well say. Right off of Colorado Boulevard, west of the Kentucky Fried Chicken on Colorado Boulevard. Always, that's the marker for everyone. That's the marker. Anyone that grew up over there will know. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Except for me, maybe, but now I know.
Yes.
So that's awesome what you're doing there. And can you also let me know, do you work with people individually or do you have a payment plan? How does that fall into the resource center?
Absolutely. I work with lately I have received a connection with Arapahoe County Human Services. So parents can actually have their workshops and things paid for through them. I also, yes, I do individual pay if people can provide that money. And if they can't, my whole thing is about giving back. So they can offer time. I have a garden, a Denver Urban Garden, so I'm one of their original community gardens. They can work in the garden during the spring and summer, help with yard work. All those different things can give contributions of water, things like that to help me because everything goes towards the overhead for the center.
That's awesome. Would you please leave your number one more time, please?
Absolutely. It's the Robert A. Miller Educational Resource Center, 303-321-3202.
Okay, and I have a quick question, too, for both of you ladies. We are having our community discussion today on a forum that Dr. Young will be bringing to us. And I would just like to ask both of you, and we can start with you, Ms. Joslyn, what is your thoughts about strategies for coping with being terrorized in the community?
Well, that's an interesting topic, especially for me, because it's something that I work with. You know, just working with the stability and strengthening, it starts with self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So just really working on strengthening the families so they're able to deal with, react to, because that's basically what terrorism is. It's the way people react to different things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that understanding with communication.
Right, and it could also be ourselves, the way that we treat
Absolutely.
Ourselves. I mean, sometimes it's not other people terrorizing us. It could be ourselves doing that. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
Absolutely.
So that makes what you're doing in the community so special, you know, and I do thank you for that. And Ms. Carla, I would like to get your input on that same question.
First of all, it takes a village, you know, to raise a family, and we need God first,
mm-hmm,
you know, Jesus first. So if that can be part of our environment, it can be a lot better. So first of all, we need to start that at our home, mm-hmm, knowing who Jesus is and instilling that in our children. And that can also help us with the terrorism.
Wow, that is awesome. That is definitely the place to start, because if you start there, you're definitely protected by everything else. And
Absolutely.
Then we put together the other resources that we have in place. And then we have people like Dr. Young, who will be coming on and sharing more about us and strategies, and not just the problems, because we already know what most of the problems are. What we need to do is find and help people with solutions. And that's what we're going to be doing here today.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be bringing Dr. Young on, and I just also would like to give both of you another chance to, if there was a question that we can ask Dr. Young that might help the community, what would that be? And then I can deliver that question to him, and we'll get the answers.
Dr. Young, I have a question. Do you think with the new police cameras on them, on their bodies, it'll be a good, beneficial deal for our neighborhoods? That'll be a good question, I think.
Okay, and we will be getting that answer shortly from Dr. Young. And what about your question to Dr. Young?
Dr. Young, I'd like to know if you're aware of any way that the communication, as I just spoke about communication with families, but the communication with the police department and the neighborhoods, and really the communication between the two.
Okay, and so at this time right now, I would just like to go ahead and give Dr. Young a chance to, before we get into the rest of our forum, to go ahead and address those two questions. The first one was from Carla, and it mentions, is it a good idea for the new police cameras to be on their bodies?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's very important that there's a high level of accountability by law enforcement and the criminal justice system. So having body cameras does add an additional level of accountability, and I think that's a good idea, really.
Okay, so you think it's a good idea to our first question, and then we'll get back more into them after our first commercial break to talk a little bit more about the questions. But the second question we would like to have addressed.
Dr. Young, just the communication, is there a clear communication between the police departments and the neighborhoods?
Well, historically, there has not been, not only in Denver, but also across the country. That's something which is an ongoing process that constantly needs to be improved. But a lot of it deals with trust, and I'll get into that further in the discussion.
Okay, so a lot of the issues with that is trust. So thank you very much to the ladies that just shared their information to us. Thanks a lot for the questions to Dr. Young, and we will be addressing them further in our forum. But at this time, we would like to take our first break, and we will be right back here at CTK Radio.
Elevation Health Chiropractic, Denver, Colorado. Elevation Health features the core four system of wellness: function, fitness, nutrition, and education. For more information, visit the website at www.yourhealthelevated.com. Again, that's www.yourhealthelevated.com.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Welcome back to CTK Radio. I'd like to, at this time, welcome my next guest, Dr. Young. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Dr. Young, thanks for being here. I know you're the president of the Denver Rocky Mountain Association of Black Psychologists. We're going to be talking about a community forum. You've got 35 years in experience in clinical psychology, forensic psychology. You've worked in prisons, family practice. You've been on the parole board, and that's just a few of among other areas that you're involved in. Would you please tell us about yourself?
Oh, well, sure. I'm a native of Chicago. I've lived in Colorado since 1977. Within that time, I've worked for many state agencies, including the Department of Corrections, State Parole Board, Colorado Division of Behavioral Health, as well as the Colorado Mental Health Institute in Pueblo. I was one of the clinical team leaders at the Institute for Forensic Psychiatry, mm-hmm. working with criminally insane individuals. And I've taught at the university and college level about 22 years as an adjunct professor. So that's just a part of what I've done. I've also started a private high school that I converted into a charter school in Colorado Springs some years ago, and I've been involved with the community in a lot of different ways as a volunteer. Yeah.
And I so love that, because that's why we're connected, because of all those great things that you do. And I also like to say thank you for your support that you have been to me, my organization, Karen and Sharon. And being here today, we're going to be discussing a community forum that you have going on. You have about 3 months of these forums going on. And today's topic is going to be strategies for coping with being terrorized in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit about that forum, and then we can get into explaining exactly what being terrorized is?
Yes. The forum is going to occur October 4th at the Blair Caldwell African-American Research Library, located at 2401 Welton Street in Denver. It'll be from 3 to 5 p.m. in November. Our forum is going to be at the University of Colorado at Denver. The location and date is yet to be determined, but in December, the first Saturday in December, we'll have our third forum, and that's going to be from 3 to 5 as well. And the flyers for those forums will be coming out very soon. The forms are free and open to the public. And primarily, the purpose is to engage our community within an authentic conversation about terrorism. And let me start off with a definition. First of all, acts of violence or threats of violence used for intimidation or coercion to produce widespread fear constitute terrorism. And we do know that the African-American community has been terrorized ever since Africans were brought to the shores of America. Mm-hmm. And that has taken many different forms, but I would like to give you a psychosocial historical overview of what that looked like, just a very brief summary. First of all, unlike many other Americans, people of African descent did not come here by choice initially. Mm-hmm. We were enslaved. We were kidnapped from the shores of Africa and from the interior of the continent, brought over as cargo. And the whole purpose of Africans being brought to America were to be used. We were seen as just simply a commodity, something to be used, something to be consumed. And the manner in which the enslavement occurred was extremely brutal. There were times where thousands of people who had been enslaved actually died in what was called the Middle Passage, and some even committed suicide because the conditions were so horrible. And those who did survive were subjected to the worst type of enslavement that has ever existed on this planet. In fact, one of the things which was very unique about American slavery and slavery itself as a form of terrorism, mm-hmm. Is that rather than being considered human, Africans were considered to be less than human, just simply property. So they could be raped, they could be murdered, they could be mutilated in all kinds of assorted ways because we were not considered to be at all human. So there was no value placed on black life. And that was reinforced by the various state laws and federal laws which were subsequently enacted. In fact, there's one book by Dr. Claude Anderson called Black Labor, White Wealth. It lists about 400 different laws, and of course there were many more than that on the books. But he lists approximately 400 different laws which form the basis for the type of terrorism which was perpetuated against African Americans in this country. Not being able to be considered a human being, even our U.S. Constitution still states that people of African descent are three-fifths of a human being. That has never been changed by the Constitution, even though African Americans were given the right to vote and have been quote-unquote emancipated. Some things have never changed. In fact, there are many laws we still state, and I'm talking about at the state level, that African Americans cannot own property, cannot intermarry with other ethnic groups. And these laws were so abusive. In fact, things were so harsh for African Americans, even after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, that due to Jim Crow laws, there were overt ways to suppress the black vote. That included lynchings, poll taxes, and various other ways in which we were terrorized and kept away from voting. Now, this is election season in America, and mm-hmm. we can see all of the various campaign ads which are occurring, mm-hmm. but I can tell you without a fear of contradiction that if one were to look at American history, you would see that for all of the periods since the Emancipation Proclamation, there has been an overt and very brutal effort to suppress black votes, and that's terrorism. Mm-hmm. When we look at some of the writings of people like Ida B. Wells, who was an African-American journalist who documented the type of lynchings and murders which had occurred, and these were justified by locally elected officials, condoned by police officials. Her writings really speak very directly about the fact that Black life was not valued and that we were terrorized by the thousands of lynchings which occurred. And while on one hand, people today will probably think that these are just horrible things, how could America engage in such hostile, violent acts? Well, when you think about the founding of America, that the original settlers who came to this country terrorized and victimized Native Americans and ultimately subjected them to genocide and took all of the land for the most part, we see that we have a history in this country replete with violence and terrorism against people of color, mm-hmm. starting with Native Americans and up to this day still with African Americans. So when we look at the various laws which perpetuated the type of terrorism that our people have experienced, there's no mystery why there's a distrust of law enforcement.
Right, going on today, which kind of makes me want to give the statement of everything that you have just said is so very true, and we look at that all as being a part of history, but especially, of course, in our African-American community, we can find out why still today so many people are locked in that same terrorized statement, because it's just kind of still out there. They just put it out in a different way, but it's still the same thing going on.
Oh, well, let me go further, because there's a couple of books I would like to point out for your listeners. There's one book called Slavery by Another Name. This is a book by Douglas A. Blackman that really documents very clearly the manner in which Black men were terrorized and their families were cheated out of their presence by having them falsely incarcerated and forced to work in chain gangs. Black men were picked up, basically kidnapped for vagarism, but by not having a job and just being there. Mm-hmm. This happened ever since the late 1800s all the way through the 1920s. But Dr. Blackman's book really documents that very well. And there's something else in terms of the mass over-incarceration of Black men. There's a book by Michelle Alexander, who's a former ACLU attorney. She wrote a wonderful documentary about the historical over-incarceration of African-American men, starting from the Emancipation Proclamation, because prior to the ending of slavery officially, Black men did not exist in the prison system. After the Emancipation Proclamation, there was an effort to re-enslave African Americans, and that re-enslavement took the form of terrorism. Mm-hmm. All of us have heard or seen movies or read articles or books about the Ku Klux Klan and other American terrorist groups, but a lot needs to be said about the ongoing type of terrorism which continue to exist from factors external to the African American community. And we'll talk about internal terrorism shortly, but I wanted to kind of lay the groundwork about the fact that the Black community in this country has always been terrorized. There's not been a point in our history where we have not.
That's very interesting. I know we're definitely, I like what you're saying, and we hear so many problems of what's going on in the community. We can hear so many problems every day. We can turn on the TV, the radio. There's problems, problems, problems. I want to make sure that we're able to spend time on solutions and resources as well.
For sure.
Because people know exactly what the problem is. So on the other side of our break, that's what we want to begin to speak about, some of the solutions and the resources that we can bring to the community. So stay tuned now for our break here on CTK Radio. Be back right after this.
And we'll be
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone everywhere via the internet. In order to continue bringing the light unto a dark world, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in providing us the means to continue reaching out to children of the kingdom around the world. To help, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our website, www.ctkradio.org. Again, that's www.ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff, management, and all of our volunteers, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. You're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of Christ the King Radio or Christ the King Radio Ministries.
Back to CTK Radio. I'd like to further get into our discussion here with Dr. Young. Dr. Young, would you continue to lay the history and the foundation of the community forums?
Well, I'll lay the foundation for the history of the Black community being terrorized. That might be a little bit more useful at this point. Many of your listeners may have seen the movie 12 Years a Slave, which is actually a autobiography of a person who had been falsely enslaved, kidnapped, brutalized for many years. It was a very hard movie for most people to watch because it depicts a very shameful period in American history. And this is a firsthand account of what happened to a person. So this is not something fictionalized. Mm-hmm. In fact, the movie is extremely close to the book. But this is just one example in terms of how African Americans have been historically terrorized.
And it's also one of the few stories that we hear, because there's so many out there that we'll just never hear about.
Oh, in fact, I would encourage anyone to read some of the slave narratives and to hear firsthand accounts from people who experienced that. One thing also that happened historically in this country is that during the time of slavery, if a Black person was able to learn to read or write, they would get the tongues cut out or the hands cut off. Mm-hmm. It was just common practices for things like this to occur, or in the case of someone attempting to escape slavery, to have the legs cut off. And I would dare say that all of those were forms of terrorism. So the educational system, which was never developed to benefit African Americans to begin with, we were excluded from the educational process in a very brutal way. As I mentioned, having various body parts amputated, cut off, just because someone dared to learn how to read or write. We also know that medically, even after slavery had occurred, there were some ongoing medical experimentations with African Americans. It happened prior to the Civil War. It happened during the Civil War. And one of the most well-known cases of African-Americans being used for experimentation was the Tuskegee experiment, whereas men who had suffered from syphilis were denied medical care and actually kept alive to see exactly how far the disease would progress. This was done by the U.S. government through the Public Health Service. And historically, when we think about even in housing, how African Americans had historically been denied housing in areas that were considered to be white. There was cross burnings, and those still occur to some extent in this country. And people just having their homes burned down and having no protection under the law. We can even go back to Rosewood in Florida, the township of Rosewood, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, where an entire black community was burned to the ground. Mm-hmm. And that was an act of terrorism. And the question would be, where was law enforcement? Why weren't they protecting the lives of African Americans back in those years? And the fact has been is that historically, black life has had little value in this country beyond the extent that we could be used as consumers or as simply a commodity.
Dr. Young, I have a question to what you just said about there hasn't been much protection put in place for us in the black community. Do you think that there is protection put in place for us today that can make a difference?
That's an excellent question, because we would dare say that as Americans, since we do have citizenship in this country now by a Constitution amendment, that it is our birthright to have all of the constitutional protections as all other Americans. The fact of the matter is that on paper, we have all of the same protections. However, in reality, laws can be selectively enforced. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to protecting the rights of African Americans historically in this country, our rights have not been very well protected.
Hmm.
And because law enforcement has been in collusion and part and parcel historically of brutalizing the black community, there's been ongoing distrust with law enforcement and criminal justice, because even to this day, African Americans are more likely to be arrested, charged, convicted, and incarcerated than any other ethnic group. In fact, in Colorado, we constitute about 25% of those people who are incarcerated, more specifically African-American men, constitute 25% of the Colorado Department of Corrections, and yet as a people, we're less than 4% or so of the state population.
Hmm.
So it's not that we have any higher criminal proclivity, it's just the fact that we're more likely to be over-policed, arrested, charged, convicted, and incarcerated for even longer periods.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want us to get too far off the subject, but I know that we have both recently visit Chicago. And I've grown up in Colorado, and seeing what I see in Chicago is nothing like what I see here in Colorado. And I'd just like to get your view. I was in Chicago. I've seen a whole side of a state that the police wish that they didn't even have to go into. Talk to some people from there that said there's more dead bodies from being shot than there are the police that will show up to the scene. So here in Colorado, we can at least say that it is not that bad.
Oh, absolutely. Denver does not approximate a Chicago or a New York City or a Los Angeles by far. But the fact of the matter is that we have been subjected to such legislation which kept us in poverty, which kept us from having adequate medical care, which kept us from having equal employment. And with all of those conditions, which were legally legislated and enforced, we found ourselves being in a position where we are the only ethnic group in this country that specifically had hundreds of laws passed specifically to keep us in a state of being at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be as far as education, housing, employment, legal protection on a civil matter, as well as the criminal justice system. So we have always been at a disadvantage because of specific laws put into place.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to our next commercial break, I just like for you to tie into a little bit. We had two questions addressed to you. One is about the communication and law enforcement, and the other one was about the police cameras. How can they either help us out or not help us out? Is there a balance between the two?
Okay, well, as far as communication and between the African-American community and law enforcement, on one hand, on an individual basis, there may be some officers who work very hard to develop a good relationship and rapport with members of the Black community, and that's great. That does happen to some extent in this.
Would it be fair to ask you, does that look like the majority or the minority?
Well, I was going to answer that. And I said that would be exceptional. The fact of the matter is that historically, police officers have been some of the major oppressors in the African-American community. It's taken the form of police brutality, racial profiling. I can tell you when I was growing up in Chicago, I was arrested several times just going home from work. Mm-hmm. Just simply going home from work. I had not committed any crime. The fact I was walking while Black, and I was stopped, searched, thrown up against the wall, and harassed, and of course eventually let go, but it was too common of an experience for African-American young men in Chicago, but that still happens today across the country.
Right, which I was going to also address, because you're talking about when you were growing up, which was years ago.
Yes.
I have my own sons, 23 and 25 now, and they have right now today experience some of the same things, but like you just said, they always have to be let go because they're not doing anything. So if my son says, "Mom, I've been pulled over," I'm always like, "You didn't do anything. Just pull over, do what you're supposed to do." They're not going to have a choice but to let you go. But it's too bad that that is still really happening today.
Well, it's been consistent all the way since the Emancipation Proclamation. It's been continuous. And there's a certain amount of distrust against law enforcement because of the history of law enforcement being involved with the various ways in which the Black community has been brutalized, condoning lynchings, standing right by while lynchings occur.
Right.
How in the world is it possible to have any genuine trust for law enforcement when you see that this history has been ongoing?
Right, and you also want to have sincere trust. You don't want the trust that they'll stand there and watch you get beat and then act like they want to protect you, but then 3-4 years later it comes out that they were pretty much some of the ones that stood behind what was happening to you. We need sincere law enforcement.
Well, once again, in this country, Black life has had less value than others. So when we think about having genuine trust, we need to have some genuine protection. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we're not being brutalized or racially profiled and not given the same protection as we are entitled to by our current laws.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I also like to stress that on the other side of this, we are not just saying that all this just happens all the time, because sometimes it happens and it may be the situation that you put yourself in. It may be because you're out committing a crime. So we're definitely saying on the other side of this to do what's right. Do what you're supposed to do,
Then
of course,
absolutely,
hopefully, some of the other things won't come into force.
Okay, well, I would dare say along the same lines, if someone is committing a crime and they find themselves being thrown against the wall, that's one thing. They probably need to be thrown against the wall if they are in fact engaged in criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. But for everyday people just walking around minding their own business, you may not have any particular agenda for walking down the street, but there's no reason for you to be stopped, frisked, and accused of anything.
If you just simply mind your business. Why did you stop me? Explain to me, why did you stop me? And I really feel bad for so many of our young Black men, because still today they do experience this, and so many of them try so hard to do the right thing. So on the other side of our break, we are going to talk about solutions and resources to coping with strategies and being terrorized in the community. We'll be back right after this break.
GECS, website design, corporate identity, and custom graphics. For more information, visit the website at www.gecs-us.com. Again, that's www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Okay, and now we're back here on CTK Radio, still joined with Dr. Young. Dr. Young, I'd like to get into some of the cases that has concerned many communities, not just the Colorado community, but national news. Can you get into some of those topics for us?
Well, something that comes to mind very quickly, of course, is the Trayvon Martin case, where a young black teenager was just minding his own business, walking through a neighborhood, and got murdered by a person who claimed that he felt he was threatened, but still, he had a gun. The teenager did not have one. And yet, when the trial happened, and he was ultimately acquitted of having committed murder, most people who I know, both African-American and others, were appalled at the fact that black life still continues to have such little value that you can have someone commit a murder. And even though there was a stand your ground law present, I like what our President Obama said a couple of weeks ago about, even though something may be legal, it doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And Trayvon Martin's family has not had any justice, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Their son's life was taken, and there should be a price paid, certainly for the murderer in this case.
Absolutely. That case is definitely one that outraged many, not just the African-American community, but outraged many. My question to you would be, does that outrage in any way get our message across?
It does. It's unfortunate, but it seems like the only time these issues get any media coverage is when we're angry, when the black community is angry and we're protesting, or some unfortunate violent things happen as a result of those type of situations. Ferguson is another example, whereas we have someone who's a young black male being murdered, and there's outrage. But these sorts of instances are too common in this day and age. There's no reason for them to be occurring at all, much less the high frequency in which they do occur. I would dare say that, from my experience, police officers, while they're being screened for their employment, are not given psychological evaluations which assess their racial biases.
Which is really important.
Yes.
When you're out there working with a big community of people.
Yes.
You definitely, and whoever's hiring, you definitely need to know whatever that gray area is that you're dealing with.
Absolutely. No doubt there are many officers who are probably good people, but they may be terrible bigots.
And maybe they may act out. Right.
And they may act out the bigotry. It's one thing to be a bigot and to be hateful, but when you are in a position of authority and you're acting out your bigotry and you're oppressing other people, as we see in these
using your cases authority of shooting. As an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So police departments, I believe, are at fault for not properly addressing and assessing the racial biases of people who are being considered for hire.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were, I doubt that we would have the severity of shootings and beatings by police that we have
had from
a racial vantage point.
Right.
Well, yeah, sincere. Well, perhaps they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong in terms of their approach.
Right.
They have to be willing to be fair with all of our citizens, not just those who look like them. They have to be fair with each and
that
every American.
That sincerity definitely has to widen some.
Well, they have to make a commitment to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that African Americans need any special treatment as far as being protected by the law, but we do need to be protected as well as other people and on a fair basis. That has not happened.
Right.
From my vantage point.
And that is not asking too much either, you know, because so much of this does not have to happen with the outrages. Sometimes we're outraged for a little while, and then the same thing continues to happen. So the problem is fixed just for a little while.
Well,
we need solutions.
Well, the problems are never really fixed. I mean, there's window dressings, there's some public apologies which occur, but unless the practices and the policies of the police authorities change, nothing really changes essentially. So it takes more than just the rhetoric of making an apology or acknowledging that something wrong happened, systemically there's something that needs to happen as far as the policies and practices of law enforcement. And along that same line, that's one way in which we begin to talk about solutions. If we want any viable solutions to occur as far as these clashes with police, it's important that we have adequate communication, we have proper, earnest, authentic communication, but we also need honest and earnest and authentic action taken by police authorities to make sure these type of incidents do not reoccur.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been lacking. I'm going to ask you a question about your forums. Do you ever have, like, the police and law enforcement come in and interact with those forums?
Well, this is one of three community forums which are going to occur. The first one begins tomorrow, and certainly the forums are open to the public. We do have a retired police officer who will be speaking tomorrow on the issue. We have a retired judge that will be speaking to the issue. We have educators, we have community activists, we have mental health professionals, we have a variety of different people from our community who will be addressing the issue. We intentionally did not invite the police chief, being an appointed official. I know that it would be, on one hand, desirable to have him there, but what we would like to hear are more from more everyday people, people who are retired from law enforcement or the criminal justice system, who can speak more freely.
Right.
From their many decades of experience, they have something that we can glean of value mm-hmm. from the recommendations that they're going to put forth. We did not intentionally did not invite anyone from the governor's office or from the mayor's office. Being elected officials, they have their own agenda, and we would like to stay clear of some of the political posturing which could occur mm-hmm. during these election years, and from right. the fact that these are elected officials, we would like to not put them in that spot mm-hmm. For any number of reasons. I think it would be unfair for them, because the issues are not really about them, it's about the system. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who the mayor, who the governor is, who the police chief is. What matters are the policies which are put into place and which are enforced to make sure that all Americans, all of our citizens in Denver, are given the same rights and the same protection, and that they are enforced.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Young, would you invite the listeners to come out to your forum?
Absolutely. The community forum, which is entitled Strategies for Coping with Being Terrorized in the African American Community, is going to occur October 4th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Blair Caldwell African American Research Library. We also will have a forum during November. The date and location is going to be decided very soon. And December 6th, we'll have the last of the series, which is going to be from 3 to 5, and we'll identify the location for that forum, and it'll be announced later. But let me just make one note. This is very important that we acknowledge that other communities of color have been terrorized throughout the years. This is not just something germane to the African-American community, but it's important that Latinos speak for themselves, the Native Americans speak for themselves, the people of Asian descent speak for themselves. So our forum is mm-hmm. targeted to address the issues for African Americans. This is not to say that these same issues does not occur to some extent in other communities, but we don't speak for everyone. We're speaking specifically about the impact upon these issues on the African American community. And this out of respect for their own self-determination, that we're not speaking for the other communities. Mm-hmm. We want them to definitely use this as an opportunity to begin to address these issues publicly themselves.
Mm-hmm. To have solutions to problems before they even occur. Maybe by attending one of these forums, we can get that information. Can you tell me what the picture looks like there? Is it where the people that you have on the board are taking questions and addressing issues from the audience, or how does that look?
What the panel looks like is that there'll be a panel of experts within their fields who'll be addressing the issues and talking about some recommendations for addressing these issues in a proactive manner. There'll be a period for questions from the participants in the audience, as well as an opportunity for comments. It should be a dynamic exchange, but the panelists are going to present first, and we'll take questions and answers and some comments. And we'll be talking about factors which impact the African-American community, from internal and external factors which terrorize our communities and that negatively impact our homes, our safety, our security, and our wellness.
Mm-hmm. And they can include like gang violence, domestic violence.
Absolutely. Because once again, going back to our definition that we're using for our forums, it would be include acts of violence or threats of violence used for intimidation or coercion to produce widespread fear. Mm-hmm. That is terrorism. We've been so used to thinking about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and various other terrorist groups in the so-called Middle East that we've not really, or I should say, the media has not captured the fact that that's only one aspect of terrorism. Timothy McVeigh, who blew up the Oklahoma Federal Building, that was an act of domestic terrorism. Mm-hmm. And terrorism has always existed in this country. We have not identified it publicly through the media as such, but it's the same thing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Young, for joining me today. And as we come to a close to our show, would you please leave our listeners with a word of encouragement?
Yes. I would say that these issues that we've experienced historically are important to understand as a backdrop, because the current conditions are only a symptom of the history that we have experienced, but our future need not resemble our past. We have to be able to have some authentic conversations, maybe even painful conversations about these issues, so that we can begin to come up with some proactive solutions. And from that, we can do the type of healing that will allow all of us to grow and move beyond our current circumstances.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Young, for that. And thank you so much for listening today to the Caring and Sharing with Dara show here on CTK Radio. Join us here next Friday at 11 o'clock for the Caring and Sharing with Dara show. Until then, may God bless you all.
Our community forum series will occur during October, November, and December, the first Saturday of each month from 3 to 5 p.m. The first forum, which is going to be at the Blair Caldwell African American Research Library, located at 2401 Welton Street in Denver, Colorado, will be 3 to 5 p.m. The date and location of the November forum will be decided shortly. And the December 6th forum will also be at the same time slot, 3 to 5 p.m. on the Saturday, and the location will be decided shortly as well. The name of the series is Strategies for Coping with Being Terrorized in the African American Community.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone everywhere via the internet. In order to continue bringing the light unto a dark world, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in providing us the means to continue reaching out to children of the kingdom around the world. To help, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our website, www.ctkradio.org. Again, that's www.ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff, management, and all of our volunteers, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.